This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm talking Eric Schaefer working contracts and Alex Santos doing scouting. I'm happy for the coaching staff, Jay Gruden, Greg Minuski, and the crew. They were dealt a really difficult five cards in this poker game over the last couple of weeks. There's not a whole lot you can do, but... Now, we used to give McLuhan all the credit in the world when we go out and find people in season. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like Ari Quanjo or the elevation of Tyler Catalina or Tody Bergstrom or any of these guys that have been brought in have been godsends. I mean, they've basically just been duct tape and they've barely held up the walls. But you got a huge win to extend your season in a game where everybody was down. And I think the front office and the people that worked the 80 and 90-hour weeks deserve some credit for that today. One of the players that this front office needs to continue to improve is Josh Doctson. He was coming off the field yesterday, and he looked at a camera. I think it might have been NBC Sports Washington. He said something along the lines of, I'm just getting started. Here we go. Here it comes. His confidence is starting to grow a little bit, and he made two massive catches in the second half. One that, as Kirk Cousins told us earlier today, wasn't even thrown to him. Another on a diving catch to win a game. That's now two catches this season that really he had no business making. One resulted in a touchdown. The other resulted in first and goal at the one. The Raiders game and this one. He can do that. Other players on the team can't.
So, again, I still don't know. He's made spectacular plays. He has. It's happened. Talking about Doctson. I still don't know down in and down out if he's running open. I don't know if he's getting off jams. I don't know if he's open all the time when he's in the game and he's just not getting the ball. I don't know if it's a... If we're just going to throw to him, it has to be, hey, he's covered, but give him a chance. I don't know yet. I'd like to think that he's open all the time, and this is just now a matter of time before he becomes a legitimate number two NFL wide receiver.
But it's fair to say that we know that the skill set's special.
He's made some spectacular plays, which speaks to what you're talking about. You know, I mean, I saw a guy on Red Zone in the Jacksonville game make one of the greatest catches I've ever seen, some dude I've never heard of and probably will never hear from again. So a lot of guys, I think, have skill sets that are elite athletically. Doctson's got some of that, I think, without question. But as we go forward here, offensively, where are they at their best? They're still at their best to me when Jordan Reed has the football and the ball's out quickly. Jameson Crowder has the football and the ball's out quickly.
The ball between the tackles.
It's certainly not that. It's certainly not that.
Okay.
But adding that extra punch, adding that extra ability to basically say we can go down the field in the most meaningful of situations, they did that. I think that throw to Josh Doctson was massive for a million reasons. A, you won the game because of it. But B, it's the you can't just sit on Chris Thompson. Because that's what DeSean Jackson's value was. For every long touchdown to make it easy, it was also, dude, Jackson might get over the top.
By the way, how did they get man there, basically with a chance to run vertical routes? I don't understand what Seattle was doing. I know that Earl Thomas didn't play in the game, safety's late getting over, but do you understand in that situation how they were able to get basically one-on-one vertical routes?
Yeah. So to me, looking at it, as I went back and watched whatever I could, it was as I even mentioned to Kirk, they're saying, you ain't beating us with your quick game. You're not beating us with Chris Thompson. You're not beating us with Vernon Davis underneath, whatever, even though his hand was all busted
but
up.
That's what they should do. I mean, they should give you that short stuff. You've got to go all the way down the field. If you make someone take it five and six at a time, there's a bigger, better chance for a mistake. See the Dallas game last week.
They were in single high.
To let a wide receiver who has speed and hands work one-on-one with a rookie corner who hasn't had a good season in winning time at the end of a game, I couldn't believe they allowed that to happen.
Yeah, they were in single high. But
that's where, if you're Cousins, I think you got to take a few of those chances. And it's easy to say you need the protection. I think you go back and you watch, and I did, that the Cowboys game. There's several times where he's got open receivers down the field. He doesn't have enough time to throw it to them. And maybe if you get Brandon Scherff back at right guard this week, or you get Ty Nsekhe back to fill in for Trent Williams at left tackle, if Sean Laval replaces Ari Quanjo at left guard, maybe some of those things happen again where you could start to have some longer developing plays. But I counted a few times yesterday. I love the idea on these fake screens to Thompson. Remember, the first screen they threw to Thompson, Bobby Wagner came flying a million miles an hour, over pursued and blew him up in the backfield, remember? So they saw that. They threw two fake screen to Thompson where they turned a tight end up the sideline for a longer play. Neither of them worked because on both occasions, before the play could develop, Kirk Cousins was getting hit hard.
Man, oh man. I just think about how impossible this whole thing was. You know what I mean? That's all I can think about is each thing that had to happen. An interception that probably should have been that wasn't. I mean, every little tiny moment where anything goes wrong and the Redskins lose that game. You know, yeah. And listen, and here's the other part of this. I have a couple skeptics that have been tweeting me at Funny Dandy, Grant and Grant H. Paulson. Here's the other thing that had to happen. This deserves attention, too. I'm not dismissing what the Redskins did, by the way. It took Seattle to play a terrible game for this to happen. And they did. Seattle was awful in this game by anybody's standards. The amount of penalties they committed, Russell Wilson missing open throws, any of those easy button type touchdowns. He missed Doug Baldwin where I can't remember who it was. It was Kendall Fuller came back and was able to break up a throw. Should have been a walk-in touchdown. He missed a number of guys a number of different times over. Defensively, Seattle, you know, was obviously impressive because the Redskins couldn't do much. But good gracious, in the end of the game there, you said it. All you do is you back off and let them try to check it down. They haven't been able to do it all game long, and that's what they want to do. Just amazing to me how many things had to go the Redskins' way for them to win it. And as you said, you played 100 times. You probably, if you win four, it's a damn miracle.
I'll give amazing. You a word for today. I'm proud of this team. I'm proud of the way they played. Because had they have gone into the game with the mindset I had as a realist, who I feel like I know a little bit about football, not at the level, obviously, of any of the coaches and players in that building, but I've watched enough NFL to know what should have happened, they'd have had no chance. But they flew out there to win a football game down. And you heard the pregame speech from Kirk Cousins, if you were watching Fox, where he's talking about grit, and this has to be gritty. It's not going to go smoothly. This is not going to be easy. Well, it wasn't. By the way, the Redskins' red zone offense, which gets crushed all the time, now up to 13th in the NFL.
Yeah, mid-50s, 56%.
11 of their last 16 red zone possessions touchdowns. They rank in the top 13 in the league in red zone offense. Kirk Cousins was great when he joined us earlier today. Thing I want you to listen for is his reaction when asked about whether or not winning the game at the end with a big drive can help shift the conversation about the plays that he is or is not able to make with the game on the line, because that was pretty compelling. That's next right here on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.